It's I was contemplating on what I'd like to share with you this morning, and as it turned out to be Labor Day weekend and the holiday that we set aside, the labor of this country spends a day of resting and away from their jobs, I thought I might try and entice you to a different line of work, put forth to you a different vocation than what you're presently in. Paul, what do you do for a living? Truck driver. Nelson, what do you do? Sharpen saws. And I see some that are in retirement, some carpenters. I work with computers. And this idea of working for a living, spending 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day in some cases, spending so much of our lives wrapped up in this thing that I wonder if maybe we have things a little bit flip-flopped in our lives as Christians. There used to be a show on a few years back, and it started off and they'd show you a tape player and it would give this, you know, this job description. Should you choose to accept it? Remember the show is called Mission Impossible. And then the next hour they do some phenomenal thing, you know, to save the world. And, you know, but that at the end, they always, after they gave this thing, you know, and how you'll go into this foreign country and pull these guys out and do this thing, you know, some impossible thing, they say, if you should choose to accept the assignment, then they'd destroy the tape and all, and they'd go and do it. But what I was contemplating today is the same thing, the vocation that's set before us in God's Word. And it's this vocation as it's described in Ephesians. And we're going to go through the different scriptures in the epistles and the letters mainly from Paul about this calling that the Lord's placed before us. It's translated in the King James and Ephesians 1, vocation. So let's start there. Ephesians 4, verse 1. And we'll be skipping to 10 different scriptures that have different different pieces about this job. Now, when we went to pick our life's vocation in our daily lives, I'm talking about the job you do to make money, we had different things. First of all, there was something that enticed us. There was a want ad of something or something about the job, you know, had good benefits, had good pay, good retirement. Something about it was there. And as I went through this calling in the scriptures, all these things were presented. And I thought it was very, very unique in that the 10 different scriptures that mention this calling each deal with a separate part of the job, starting with this, which labels the job. And this is the only scripture that calls it a vocation, but this term calling, translated here vocation, in different New American Standard, I'm sure it's called calling. But it's this Christian walk, and I wonder if maybe we don't have things a little bit flip-flopped in our lives, and maybe this has something to do with why we have such trouble praying, spend so much time praying, and why we have such trouble witnessing to people, and why we have so little fruit in our lives, and why this deal of being a Christian is almost a second job to us. And I'd like to present it today as your primary vocation in life, not your something that you are and you do your other job for 10 hours, and then if you get 5 minutes at the end of the day and have a chance to, you know, read a couple verses, you know, that satisfies your Christianity. But to present it as your primary vocation, and as Paul was a tent maker on the side to support his Christianity, let Christianity be your vocation in life. Let's read from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. This is the job description. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So I'm going to call the vocation the job being a Christian. And the next scripture that we're going to turn to is in 2 Thessalonians 2:14. This is the posting of the job, the want ad, shall we call it. This is how we came to know this calling, this vocation, as we'll call it from now on. 2 Thessalonians 2, we'll read 13 through 15, 14 being the verse that we're going to concentrate on. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So you see, we're called to this vocation by the gospel. Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a message that's been presented to us, and as I look around the room, we've accepted this plan of salvation. So our position with the Lord has been established. And what I'm worrying about is what place that it has in our lives. Now, I want to present to you today, I want this Christianity to be the vocation of your lives. I want it to be the job. I want it to be the thing that satisfies you, the thing that makes life worth living. When you look at your regular job and you, there must be something that keeps you in it. And, the different things that satisfies you about it, or else you'd either try something else or just be totally miserable in your life. In Galatians, we read about the fruit of the Spirit, the benefits of being a Christian, of walking this life, of choosing this as your vocation, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the meekness. And these are the things that we're all striving for in our lives. This love and this joy, and yet we're willing to spend 10 hours doing something that at best gives us enough money to make it to the next day to do the same thing again, and we just get caught in a rut. So today we're going to go through the different things about being a Christian, and from the very beginning, our qualifications, our abilities to be able to do it, the benefits, the retirement plan. We're going to go through the whole thing, and let's look at this as, should we choose this as our vocation, or should we just continue as we are? Let's first start with the qualifications. I know that oftentimes it's 1 Corinthians 1:26, but oftentimes we look at a certain job, and there may be something you'd love to be. You know, maybe some of you like to be a lawyer or doctor, you know, and say, geez, I'm not qualified. I can't go in tomorrow and practice law. Or I can't go in without quite a bit of study and training. I can't go in and be a doctor. And so sometimes we feel like our aptitude is not up to some of these jobs that maybe we'd like to be. President of the United States, well, I can't talk that good in front of people. I'd never make it. Well, the wonderful thing about this vocation that we're going to look at today is the qualifications are quite simple. 1 Corinthians 1:21 through 31 we'll read. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So we look at first the qualifications. Now, the qualifications are quite simple, aren't they? The one who has called us, our boss-to-be, has set the qualifications quite simply. It says that not many that are wise are called, not many that are mighty, not many that are noble are called. But he calls just the average Joe, and he takes what seems to be foolishness to men and does mighty thing with it. So we look first of all at our qualifications for the job. We all qualify. So we're very, very thankful about this. So we're not talking about something, boy, I'd like to do that, but I just don't have the qualifications. We're all qualified. Now we come to the aspect of ability to serve him in this way. 2 Timothy 1:9. We'll read from 7 to 10. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. For God hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we see so many ads on TV about things like go in the army and come out, you know, ready to do the job. Get your training, and when you come out, you already know. Or you see these ads about co-op education, you know, while you're going to college, work at your job so when you come out. And so you already know something about it. You have the ability to do the job you have. And yet when we look at this Christianity, this holy calling, we're not called according to our works, what we have done. So we look at our abilities. Our abilities are not a question for this vocation. So we're qualified, and we need no previous experience. What kind of training are we going to get? 1 Peter 5:10. We'll read verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So in the training program, it's not going to be an easy job. He's going to take us, and after we've suffered a little while, which is often the case in any type of apprentice program, you find that when you go through like a 4-year apprenticeship in carpentry or something, you make little pay, and as you're learning a little bit, you know, and you have to, well, not make, but then you look at the final goal, and it seems worth it, so you hang in there, and then you achieve your vocation. Same with like a doctor going through school. As he goes through, and he goes through 4 years, and he goes through two, then he serves as an apprentice, essentially, you know, as an intern, And these times are times of suffering. He doesn't understand, and it's no different in the Christian faith. As you go out and you step out and walk, and the Lord starts developing these things in you. He takes your abilities that you didn't have, and He gives you gifts. He gives you the strength to go and do these things, and you suffer a little while for the end result that He makes you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. How about pay? You know, what's a job without good pay benefits, you know, to live? Ephesians 1:18. We'll read 15 through 23. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. The riches of the glory of His inheritance. Boy, what pay. Tremendous pay. But who is the boss? This guy that is essentially offering us such tremendous pay. We read about him in Hebrews 3, 1 through 4. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. What a tremendous boss we have. God. Apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So as Christians, we take upon ourselves His name. We see our benefits here and to come. We view our boss, perfect one who is even willing to die for us. But even all that, what's a job that you just sit in and there's no chance for advancement? Let's look at Philippians 3:14. We'll read 13 through 16. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What a beautiful thing. With all these benefits and all, we're not going to be stalemated. We're not going to be just growing confident and setting still in our job. But as we press forward, there's a prize in the high calling of our Lord. But how about the chance of being fired from the job? You know, security plays an important part in our lives. How about security? 2 Peter 1:10. Read 2 through 11. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from a sin. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. What a wonderful thing to know that we'll never fall from this job, that our security is sure. There's one other thing that always comes up when you think about a job, and that's after I've done this job and I've advanced, boom, it's over and I'm left out in the cold. Of course, the retirement benefits. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We'll read 9 through 13. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holy and justly, unblaming, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What a wonderful thing the retirement benefits of this job are, to be able to someday enter into God's kingdom and the glory of the heavenlies, and to be there with God himself. Now that we've had the job set before us, we've had all the details explained to us. We've seen the training will be tough, but we qualify for it. And the benefits are great. We have a good boss to work for. Should be enjoyable time. We know that it's a lifelong job. We will not be put out from it. We can see that our retirement benefits are tremendous. Let me ask you this question. Knowing this, why wouldn't you choose this job? Why wouldn't you make this your life's vocation? I thought a lot on this, and this really struck home with me. Over the last couple days, as I've been reading through these things, I look at my own life and see the failures, the way the other job zaps my strength, the way that takes so much of my time, the way that I look at it, I view it as a necessary thing I have to do, and I put my Christianity on the shelf. And I started looking at the benefits of this other job. And I seemed to be getting nowhere with it. And the joys that I do have from it seem to be only when the Lord has worked in that. Now I wonder, why should I spend so much of my energy and my time doing this other job? When the vocation that I've been called to by my Heavenly Father seems to take so little of my time. Think about your life. How close are you to the Lord? How much time do you spend in prayer? Does anger come to you so easy when you deal with your job and with the people that you deal with in your life? And these are things that this job offers to you. The fruit of the Spirit that we talked about, we'll read them in Galatians in a few minutes. How can we fit this thing in? We just can't walk away from our daily job and say, boy, this sounds great, but hey, I got to make a living. How do we fit these things in? Well, these things can coexist without very much problem. Let me give you a few tips. Start the day with the Lord. When you're there working at your job, even with the pressures all around you, if you've read His Word in the morning, it's easy to meditate on it. And you don't have to be actively doing something in this job. His Holy Spirit will teach you during the day, and He'll change you. And this time as you're working, the attitude that He'll bring with you, and the ability to be able to pray without stopping. All these things, He makes it so easy to choose us as our vocation in life. Why don't we? Why don't we? Let's look at a couple of dear brothers from the Word who did. Let's turn over to Acts. Acts 6. And in those days, start reading at verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. This was a logistics problem. We had a little word about this down our assembly recently. And what essentially happened is that the widows on the Hebrew side were being neglected. They weren't getting their food. So they came to the apostles with this problem, and we'll read what happens. And the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied Jerusalem greatly. A great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. This problem was, like I said, that they just weren't getting the food. It wasn't a major problem, but it was a bad enough problem that they came to the apostles and they said, we got to take care of this thing. You know, it's splitting our unit apart here. And so the apostles, having their vocation totally in mind, said that this is not something we can do. And they recognized as the leaders that sometimes you have to dole out the responsibilities. So they asked them to choose 7 men. And I'd like to spend some time looking at 2 of these men this morning that they chose for this tremendously important job of serving tables. And we look at our work, and that was their job. Their daily job was to serve tables for these widows. And we look at our job, maybe we don't consider that important to be a carpenter or a saw sharpener or whatever. And theirs was essentially a waiter. And so we'd like to look at the first 2 listed on the list this morning. Stephen, who ends up becoming the first martyr of the church, and Philip, who, because of his because he recognized what the real vocation of his life was, even as he served the tables there. What wonderful things happened because of him. Now, we never hear anything else about the problem of the people not having any food. So we can assume that they did their job well. This problem never came up. It was taken care of. And yet in that, they recognized that their vocation, their walk, being a Christian, was the most important thing in their life. Let's read a little bit about Stephen first. Stephen's testimony is laid out for us at the end of chapter 6 and the whole chapter 7. And I'll just read a little bit about Stephen himself. I won't go into his dialogue because Stephen was found in the Word, because when he gives his testimony to these high priests that have pulled him in front of him, he gives the Jewish history, and he relates it to Christ, and of course for that he's martyred. But let's look a little bit at Stephen, reading from verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now isn't this something, this waiter, he's really making a mark for himself. Now, anybody that's ever been a waiter or done that kind of, it's a very tiring job, and it's also very, you don't get much gratitude for it. In other words, anything that goes wrong is blamed on you. And so we see that in his life, not so much different than ours. You know, we don't have control of what goes on, and yet we do this thing. And yet the thing that was important about Stephen was that as he's going through his apprenticeship, waiting on those tables, that the Lord is allowed to fill him, and the Spirit is allowed to work his wonderful work in him. And Stephen's not noted for being a great waiter. I don't see anything in the Word about how great a waiter Stephen, and yet we know that was what his assignment was. Stephen's full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles among the people. And because of this, he was eventually martyred. His testimony of the Lord was what brought the death to Stephen. You know, Stephen could have been a great waiter and probably lived a long time. And we wouldn't have his testimony here in front of us. And I wonder about our lives as we go day by day and make our money and live our lives out. What mark are we making for the Lord? Oh, we can be a great technician. We can be a great soul sharpener. We can be a great carpenter. World's best truck driver. But what are we doing for the Lord? What is our vocation in life? Let's take a look at our other friend, Philip. And we can read about Philip in Acts 8, verse 5. Philip took a little break from his daily duties, waiting on tables, and he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. I'm reading from chapter 8, verse 5, 6. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And it goes on, verse 10, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great power of God. They're talking about Simon. And even the sorcerer, to him they had great regard. But even he, through Philip, came to know the Lord. verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And then, when the apostles hear about the great work that's down there, they send two of the great apostles down, Peter and John. Isn't it wonderful that the people of Samaria could be taken with a waiter? What was so special about this waiter? This waiter was living for the Lord. And he not only lived for the Lord and preached the Lord, but he had the Lord constantly on his mind. The next time we pick up Philip is in the same chapter, verse 26. This is even a little more remarkable in the fact that here he is waiting on tables, and the angel of the Lord tells him, Philip, get up, go out to the desert. I got a job for you to do out there. His vocation was the Lord. He waited on tables. He served the Lord that way, but his vocation was the Lord. Let's read what happened. Acts 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candaces, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why was Philip a dishwasher, a waiter, a menial job, a guy with a menial job? Why was he able to bring a powerful man from another country to the Lord? His vocation was a Christian. He was able to take God's word and present Jesus. He was able to be able to understand the leading of the Spirit and to go to a place that was far away, a desert place, and let the Lord use him there. As I presented to you today the vocation of being a Christian, I ask you once again, what's stopping you from choosing this as your vocation? We have so many things that we want to do in our lives, and they bring us up empty. And God has promised us and never lied to us, and said that these wonderful things, the love that we're seeking in our lives, the joy, the peace, are part of this vocation, this calling of being a Christian. I would challenge you today and every day upcoming to start your day with the Lord and to spend time during that day meditating on Him, thinking on Him, being open to Him. You can't beat the retirement benefits. It's the greatest boss in the world. And I would just challenge you to choose as your vocation, number one vocation, not second job, Christian. Be a Christian for the Lord. Let's just close with a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how marvelous is your power. When we look at all this creation and all the wonderful things that you have made, we are just awestruck by you. But it is your love to us that takes hold on us. We just thank you for your gift of love, our Lord Jesus Christ. As we have viewed today the calling from you to a life separate from what we know, we would ask that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to understand, to make it through the apprentice program, the suffering, Lord, and bring it nice and clear to our minds and our hearts, who you are, what you have done, and what joy and peace we can have because of you. We thank you for being such a wonderful employer. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your understanding. We just would pray that you would make these things dear to us, your word. Make it the very textbook of our profession. Help us to understand, and we thank you so much for daily inclining your ear to us and always being open to listen to us. We just thank you for the wonderful position that you do not treat us as slaves or servants, but that you have elevated us to the position of being sons of God. Oh Lord, may we take hold upon these truths. May they be so important to us and help us to establish the walk, the calling, the vocation of being a Christian as the number one vocation in our lives. We just now thank you for what you have accomplished on that cross for us, for sins forgiven, for life abundant because of you. We thank you in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen.